That's one part of the story in the ongoing effort to clean up the valley's air. But at the same time, the local air district is employing another strategy to deal with the problem, and it's turning to the Trump administration for help. FM 89's Carrie Klein reports the district is already flexing its political muscles.
Local air officials have pulled another tool out of their toolkit, federal politics. Syed Sadreddin is director of the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, and he says they'd like to see some changes to a well-known law.
We believe for a long time that the Federal Clean Air Act, it has served the nation well, but after 40 years of essentially going and checking, that there are some parts of it that are antiquated and need some rethinking.
The Clean Air Act, a sweeping law passed in 1963 and last amended in 1990. It regulates air emissions across the country, and it sets penalties for failing to meet national standards. For over a year, Sadreddin and the Air District have led a campaign to rewrite parts of the law to better account for the Valley's challenging circumstances. Earlier this year, proposals from the Air District were written into a bill that's already passed the House of Representatives. In their latest bid, district officials distributed a white paper making similar arguments to the incoming Trump administration.
It's seen as an educational document, so they know our issues, they know what's important to the Valley and what are some of our recommendations, and hopefully that'll guide their efforts moving forward.
While the Air District argues it's covering all its bases, health advocates see this process as a slow march toward dismantling the Clean Air Act, especially given the reputation of Trump's nominee to lead the EPA. The proposals in the white paper fall across a broad spectrum and include requests to eliminate bureaucratic red tape and to better account for population growth. The paper also reiterates the need for help in dealing with emissions that are out of the Air District's control. Earlier this year, the district petitioned the EPA to enforce tougher limits on emissions from trucks and locomotives. Mobile sources like that are a tremendous source of pollution, but they're under the EPA's jurisdiction. Sadreddin says we have other extenuating circumstances too, like severe wildfires and our smog-trapping geography.
A poor region like ours with chronic double-digit unemployment, a lot of poverty, should not be subject to these devastating sanctions if it's not our fault.
The Air District would also like a break from economic sanctions. We're already paying some. A $12 fee on car registrations at the DMV arose in 2012 after we failed to meet an ozone standard. Further failures could result in penalties on new businesses and loss of federal highway funds. Officials would like to see those penalties replaced with incentives. The Air District claims this is all justified because it's done all it can to reduce pollution and it's left no stone unturned. Some advocates agree, but say it's not quite so simple.
And in a way, I agree with that. It's just we can go back and dig under each of those stones a little bit more.
John Kapitman is a public health researcher at Fresno State and a member of the Air District's board. He says, yes, we need help from the feds, but he's not sure this is the right way to engage them.
Instead of just talking about what can we do, how can we do more, what help do we need, we're focusing on how do we change the law, how do we undo the requirements. So that's the difference in strategy that I think is important to highlight.
He says even drastic measures like a total ban on wood burning could be on the table.
These sort of draconian things are ideas like no drive days. I'm not sure what those most draconian measures would look like, but it seems to me it's really valuable to engage a full-throated public conversation about them.
Tom France would like to see some of these extreme measures now. He's an almond farmer and air quality activist, and he agrees there's still more the Air District could do.
When they say it's not possible to do something, they're saying simply it costs too much.
He argues the costs to public health are far worse than however much it would cost to take preventive measures now. So what would these proposed amendments really mean for the Clean Air Act? I took that question to Kurt Klein, chair of the Political Science Department at Fresno State.
I don't think it guts the Clean Air Act. Really what you have here is the Valley Air District trying to make a case that they've been overregulated. And in some sense, they have.
He says most of the changes in this document don't actually get at the legislative core of the Clean Air Act, which means EPA administration can make the changes without new laws. The next question is, will the EPA actually make those changes? It's tough to say. Scott Pruitt, Trump's nominee to lead the EPA, is a close friend of the oil industry and supports state rights. Klein says a lot of these proposals would probably appeal to Pruitt and Trump. But the call for tougher regulations on truck and train emissions, maybe not.
It's like a duck, duck, goose. Which one of these doesn't belong? It doesn't seem to fit with the other ones as much in terms of we want a lot of reductions in terms of process and procedures. But at the same time, we'd like you to strengthen national standards. So that might be one that they don't get.
Meanwhile, the bill that incorporates some of these policy proposals, called H.R. 4775, didn't make it to the Senate vote by the end of the congressional session. The bill could be resubmitted next year, or district officials may try to find another way to make their case to Washington. For Valley Public Radio, I'm Carrie Klein.